Well, good morning. Man, we got a beautiful day. It's good to see so many. Yeah, you look pretty friendly. Friendly faces here this morning. And I am so glad you're all here because we are currently in the final third of our 30-week series entitled Believe. Now, we've already looked at 10 topics around thinking like Jesus. And then we had 10 topics around acting like Jesus. And now we are in the final stretch of looking at topics around being like Jesus. And the topic I have for today is faithfulness. Now, if this is your first time here, don't let that 30-week thing bother you or worry you, because each of these topics that we've preached about in this series can be a standalone topic. You do not have to have been here for every one of those to understand what we're talking about now. Each topic can stand on its own. But if after the service today you want to hear more about what we've discussed in the series, or if you've been a regular attender but missed a sermon or two, please go to our website, www.mahometchristian.org. You can click on the sermons tab there and you can catch every one of these sermons. You can catch up or get the ones you missed, or if there's one you just really liked, you can go listen to it again. And in fact, on that sermon page, if you click over to the right, you can click just the Believe, and it'll give you all the sermons just in this series. So we encourage you to do that. Now, I've got a question. I always have a question for you, don't I? Well, I have another one today. Who of you has ever had trouble, or maybe if it's not you, maybe you know someone who's ever had trouble of letting go of something? How many people? Just something that wouldn't let go and even frustrated you. Yeah, I see some of you are trying to hold your hand down. They just can't let go of it. Maybe it's a person that they can't let go of, or a relationship they're in that they need to let go of and can't. Or maybe it's an idea you had at work or somewhere that you weren't letting go of. Or for students, and this never happens, but for students, you get a grade you don't think you deserve and you just can't let go of it. Mike, did arguing with you ever pay off? No. But there are students who will try. They won't let go of it. And then, of course, these days, everybody has an opinion about something, right? If you go on social media, you see all the opinions you need to see every day. In fact, in this politically hot time, there's a lot of politically hot button issues. And I could throw out some words right now, and it might even get heated in here. We're not going to do that. But everybody has an opinion, and many people struggle with letting go of their opinion. Do you all know someone like that? I'd be willing to bet if I brought a mirror and turned it around on you, many of you would say that's you. I know I would. I would see this mug in that mirror, and if you don't believe me, just ask my wife and kids. I am full of opinions. Well, I'm here to tell you today that even though that kind of person can get annoying, especially when they just won't listen, that person with that tenacity or that pride or that confidence, that fortitude, that drive to believe in what they're saying, that type of person can be turned from the dark side, so to speak, and used for God. It can be used in a way that will allow you, me, anyone to be an incredible worker for God, a kingdom worker. And more importantly, it will help us to have a stronger, healthier relationship with Christ. Now, before I explain how that works, some of you today may be wondering, why are we even talking about faithfulness? After all, I'm a Christian, or I've been around the church, and I know you have to have faith in God and faith in Christ to follow Him. And even if you're not a Christian here today or haven't been around church much, you probably have at least heard that Christians have to have faith in God, that faith is part of their walk. So why is this so important? Why is this such an integral part of the Believe series? Well, to answer that, I want to tell you a quick little story. Senator Mark Hatfield from Oregon tells of a time when he was touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the so-called House of Dying. And this wasn't what Mother Teresa and her workers called it, but this is what people called it. And this is where sick children were cared for in their final days. And the dispensary at this House of Dying was also where the poor would line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Well, as Senator Hatfield watched Mother Teresa minister to those people, feeding and nursing those who were left by others to simply die, he was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering that she and her co-workers faced every single day. So he looked at her and he says, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" Mother Teresa replied, "My dear Senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful." We are called to be faithful, to have faithfulness. Just look at our key verse for today. Proverbs 3:3-4. It's on the screen, or you got Bibles in front of you, or go to your phone and use it. We encourage that. We want you to look at the Word. But Proverbs 3:3-4 says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Let love and faithfulness never, never leave you. God is calling us to faithfulness. We are called to be faithful people. But to understand this calling of faithfulness, we probably should answer this question first. What is faithfulness? What is it? Well, as a Christian, our faithfulness is our response to our faith. It's what we do with our faith. Are we faithful? The word translated faithfulness in the Bible is the same word that can be translated faith. But the word can mean one of two things. And the first one it can mean is a conviction about something. This deals with believing something. It's a conviction based on the sufficiency of the evidence. So you get convicted by something, you see something, you feel, you believe everything about it and around it is true. And then that leads you to some sort of action. You've got to take action. The whole 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about how the faith of the saints of old caused them to act. Let's look at one of the verses from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 7. "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith." Noah knew, and or he trusted, that God would do what he said he would do. So Noah took this, God talked to him, he believed in God, he had faith in God, and he took that and he did an action. What did he do? He built the ark. He built the ark solely based on his belief in what God had said. The second definition of faithfulness, and this is the one that's spoken of in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, where it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives." Say them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The second definition that we're talking about here is fidelity or trustworthiness. Faithfulness is staying true to someone or something. Being trustworthy. Being someone who can be counted on. As this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, grows within us, we become more trustworthy. We become more focused on serving God and God alone. We will not be double-minded. We will have a steady faith, one that's not shaken by every bad thing that happens. James 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything we do." God wants us to be stable, to focus on Him. A faithful person is one who can be trusted and depended on with no divided loyalty. Trustworthiness is the characteristic of the man who is reliable. So faith, you believe in something. There's evidence there, whether it's seen or you just know, you just have faith. And it convicts you to do something. And you go out and do it. And because you do it, you can be counted on time and time again as a trustworthy person. As a trustworthy person by God. That is what faithfulness is. That is what we are called to do. So where does this faithfulness come from? Well, the answer, and for my friend Nick, who loved giving these in Sunday school, they are one of the five easy Sunday school answers. And it's God. Right, Nick? That's one of your top five that you loved using, right? God. God was never wrong. Whatever the question was, you just answer God or Jesus. But it is the answer here. God is where our faithfulness comes from. God is faithful. He keeps His promises for those who love and obey Him. He is love and He is faithful. A Christian has to look no farther than God to see what faithfulness should look like. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for a thousand generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. My favorite couple of verses about God's faithfulness is in Paul's letter to Timothy, in particular the second letter. And this is a time when Paul, he's in prison again, but this time he knows it's coming to an end. He knows he's close, that his time here on earth is almost over. But Paul, knowing God, is also actually looking forward to leaving this world behind and going to the promises that God has given us. So he's writing to Timothy here, a young leader, to encourage him, to help him as he continues the fight for God's kingdom, as he continues to try to reach the lost and to grow God's kingdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, "This is a trustworthy saying." And what did we already say that trustworthiness is a part of? Faithfulness. "This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with Him, we will also live with Him." He could have stopped there. That's a pretty great promise right there. But he goes on. "If we endure hardship, struggles, pain, suffering, we will what? Reign with Him." Woo! "If we deny Him," pay attention to the next line, "He will deny us. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is." What do these verses tell us? Simply, God is faithfulness. He is faithfulness. Every fiber of His being, every part of Him, He's filled with faithfulness. He's faithful from generation to generation. That means for all time. And He's faithful even when we are not. God is faithfulness. The Bible is telling us that God will support us, that He will uphold His word, that He is completely trustworthy. Folks, you can count on Him and His promises. One of those promises is from John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father I will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." What's Jesus telling His disciples and us here? We're not doing this alone. He's sending a helper, the Holy Spirit. When He tells His disciples that, and we look at this truth, it leads to another promise that we've already looked at today. The one in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has already told us is coming as an advocate for us, is going to produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." If you don't believe what I'm saying, just go to the book. It's there. It's there in black and white, and sometimes red, depending on the Bible you have. Right there in God's Word, the Holy Spirit, our helper, will produce faithfulness in our lives. Folks, we don't create it. We don't make faithfulness. Not in this context. It comes from who? God. And it comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And He, if we are faithful, we count and we hold on to God, Jesus, and His Word, He will produce this faithfulness in us. Now, I want to take a quick look at a recent example of faithfulness here today. And I'm going to warn you, it may make you a little sad. I'm just going to be honest. But I want to take a look at how faithfulness plays out in one family's life.
If you're a parent, you want to hear your kid's name. And so we're going to talk about Mason. That's not going to be somebody that we forget and not a name that we don't say. And so Mason is a great young man. He's a great little boy. And we're going to talk about Mason. So don't be scared to say Mason's name and talk about Mason.
Mason died April 20th of this year. Now, some of you, if you're on Facebook, remember that Paulie and I put on there about praying for a family who lost a young son. And, excuse me, this was that family. And they were a family from our church in Virginia. And the first gentleman spoke was our pastor, Pastor James. By the way, it's his fault that I'm even up here today because he challenged me and now I'm here, so... But we'll talk about that a different time. But Mason was a young man who loved going to church. He loved being there. He loved everything about it. And Paulie and I have been, we didn't know them very well at all. We'd seen the parents around church because they didn't have the kids then before we left. But we had seen them. The husband's name is Robbie. The wife's name is Chrissy. Hudson is the older boy, Abby's the young sister, and of course Mason. And we've been following the parents on Facebook. They've been kind of blogging, talking about their struggles and things they've been dealing with as a way, one, to cope, but two, as a way to help others. They believe so much that somebody can get something from their story, that God can use it in some way. They've been talking about the things they've been going through, the struggles they've been having, how the older son didn't even want to stay in the room that he shared with Mason anymore. And how someone from the church gave them a vacation to the beach. And while they were there, the church got together, a couple people, and they redid that room. So Hudson had a new room to move forward. But what they talk about is their struggles. They're honest. God, why? Why did this happen to us? Why is Mason no longer here? But in their writings, they always get back to this. We know we're not necessarily going to ever know the answers, but God is with us. You see, they're holding on to God. And at days, I'm sure it's by their pinky or by their fingertips that they're holding on to God. But they're doing it because they know God has asked them to be faithful, to have faithfulness. And I can't even imagine what they're going through. I'll be honest, the first 2 weeks after we heard about Mason, Paulie and I both, at times, would just get up and go check to make sure our children were breathing in their beds. Because you worry about those kind of things. They have a new monitor system for their children. It was a gift to them that if they're not moving after 20 seconds, it alerts them in their room. It can sense breathing or rolling over or anything. And Chrissy told them one night where Abby's the alarm went off. And man, she shot out of that bed and ran to the room. Well, what had happened is Abby had gotten stuck in the side of the crib, so she wasn't moving and it wasn't sensing her breathing. But she said at that moment, she basically just thanked God for what I do have. You see, that's faithfulness, folks. And I'm going to ask you a question right now. What do you do when life gets tough? It's going to get tough. God, in this book, while we're here on earth, never promises an easy life. You can just look at John 16:33, where Jesus says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have what? Many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. It doesn't say a trial or one moment of sorrow. It's many. Here, why we're here on this earth. We have to live a life of faithfulness through all of these things, no matter what life throws our way. Life is going to get rough, and guess what? It's going to affect you. We're human. We have emotions. We have hearts. We have relationships. It's going to affect you. But if you hold on to God and remain faithful, the promise is there. We're going to overcome what? This world. We're going to leave this world behind. And one day, all of the pain, all the sorrow, it's going to go away. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Part of Revelation I actually do understand. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." How many husbands remember that moment you see your bride for the first time? Isn't that an accurate picture? Excitement, like, oh, wow. I mean, I saw my wife and like, it was amazing. And that's what the picture is here. And then he says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" And here's the part. "He will wipe every means every single tear from their eyes. There will be no more death." Absolutely no more death. Or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Anybody looking forward to that time? Amen. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I make everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Because God is faithfulness. He is faithful. Another one of God's promises that you can count on. His faithfulness will remain with us, and we will one day be with Him in a place where all this stuff we have to deal with will now be gone. This promise should be enough to get us through each day. I mean, how many of you think right here, right now, that is the God we are serving, that we are worshiping today? No. Do you believe that's the God we're worshiping today? Yes, that's exciting. That is wonderful. That is amazing. I can't even think of all the words I want to use right now. It's so amazing. That is who we are serving. That's who we're worshiping today. Everybody, and I believe this in their heart of hearts, everybody at some point wants to believe in a God that just loves you, that will stick with us through all the junk of our lives. However, the reality is that some of us here today have a hard time believing a God could love us, could remain faithful to us because of the choices and decisions and things we've done in our lives. Some of you would come to me or come to Pastor Dave and say, "Pastor, I have things in my life that I am so ashamed of, and you are trying to tell me that God will remain faithful to me? You are telling me that what I've done doesn't affect or change His love for me, His thoughts about me?" My answer to you is yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That is who God is. That's who our Savior is. You can't change God by what you do or change His character by what you do. He is God. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. What's it say? If we are what? Unfaithful. He remains, for He cannot deny who He is. We can't change Him because we mess up. He is God. He is faithful. He will not deny who He is. He is always there for us. When we are faithless, God remains faithful. And a great example of this is from the prophet Hosea. One of my favorite prophets, maybe because it's one of the shorter prophets, but he is a prophet I enjoy reading Hosea, and the first three chapters in particular. And in this, there is a great example. In the beginning of it, God says, "Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute." Hosea, I'm sure, probably said, "What? Are you sure? There's some really godly women around here that I couldn't. He said, no, I want you to marry a prostitute. And he tells him why. Basically, he tells him, I want to show Israel what it's like to be married to her and how I am faithful. So Hosea does what he's told, and he marries the prostitute Gomer. And they're married for a while. They have kids together. And you would think that during this time, Gomer, who's lived a life that's a hard life, and she's never been able to count on anybody, has a man who says, I am of God, a prophet of God even, and he wants to be loyal to her. You'd think this would excite Gomer. But as we find out, as we continue to read Hosea, that's not what happens. She goes back to her old life. So God tells Hosea, go after her, get her back. And at this point, I'm sure Hosea said a bigger, what? But that's not where he ends it. Hosea says, okay. And he goes and he finds her. And she's being sold. She's being auctioned off at this point. And we just know from history and some things that what she was being sold for was less than what most women, slaves of that day, were going for. And we can probably imagine just from reading that life's not been easy on Gomer. She's probably not looking as good as the other ladies. She's probably tired. She's probably, at this point, depressed because life has just not gone the way she thought it should. And there she is, on the auction, sitting up there being auctioned, and she's probably crying, or at least tears coming down her face. She just can't believe this is happening to her. She's messed up. And then from the back, a man runs up and says, I want her! I want her. And there she is. She hears the voice of her ex-husband. The man she betrayed. The man she hurt. The man she left. He wants her back. I can't imagine what was going through her mind right then. I can't even talk about what feelings were going through or how she felt. But folks, this is the picture of what God is willing to do for each and every one of us. Some of us are probably feeling like Gomer, hurt, angry, upset, feel like we've betrayed God, that we've messed up so much He would not want us back. God says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care that you've been unfaithful, because I am faithful and I want you back. I'll pay whatever it costs. In fact, I've sacrificed my own son for you. That's how bad I want you back. Come home. I am here. That is the God that we're talking about this morning. That is the God who I want to be faithful to. That is the God we should all want to be faithful to. Can you believe this next promise from God I'm about to tell you? Do you trust this promise from God? 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, our mistakes, everything we've done to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. All. Key word is all. It doesn't matter. All of it, if you confess, if you ask, that's all He's been waiting for. He wants you in His kingdom. He wants you in His family. And all we have to do is confess and ask. I want to quickly go to the American Heritage Dictionary. Well, wait, first, sorry, I slipped up here. You need to remember that the true path of biblical faithfulness is not an isolated event or events, but it's a way of life. The true path of biblical faithfulness is not an isolated event. It's not one or two times in your life. It has to be a way of life. We need not simply just do faithful things here and there. We must be continually faithful people. Then the result will be faith-filled actions flowing from our faithful heart. Now, I told you earlier, if you were the type of person who at times couldn't let things go, something in particular, you just had that drive, that tenacity, the confidence, the drive, the fortitude, whatever it was, and you couldn't let something go, that He could use this trait in you for His kingdom. Well, that ties in to our bottom line today. The bottom line for this message, the bottom line is this. Faithfulness means never letting go. Faithfulness means never letting go. Hold on to God. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to His Word, His teachings. Hold on to prayer. Hold on to your church family. Hold on to serving. Hold on to love. If we hold on to these things through all of life's ups and downs, and then the Holy Spirit is going to produce a faithfulness in you that everybody, every single person will take notice of, that all will count on, and most importantly, that God will work through to reach the lost. Now I quickly want to go to the American Heritage Dictionary definition of faithful. It's up here on the screen. The first one says, adhering firmly and devotedly as to a person, a cause, or an idea, loyal. We should do that to God. We should be firmly and devoted to Him, loyal to Him and Him alone. Two, having or full of faith. That goes without saying. Number three, worthy of trust or belief, reliable. We covered that just a little bit ago, trustworthiness and being reliable. And number four, consistent with truth or actuality, a faithful reproduction of the portrait. Look at that one again. Number four, consistent with truth or actuality, a faithful reproduction of the portrait. If we are faithful, if we hold on, if we allow the Holy Spirit to produce faithfulness in us, we will be a portrait of Christ. Oh, we're not going to be perfect. I wake up every morning and realize I'm not going to be perfect. But the Holy Spirit can produce a faithfulness in us that people will then in turn see Christ in us. We will be a reproduction, a faithful reproduction of Christ. Faithfulness means never letting go. Those of you here today who are fighting the good fight, and your faithfulness is strong, then keep on going. Never let go. Keep doing it. Keep going for God. Let your faithfulness out to the world. Let them see your actions. Let them see Christ through you. However, if you are struggling in your relationship with Christ and can't seem to hold on to God, or if you haven't yet committed to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please know He is here. He is waiting for you. Reach out. Call to Him, and He will be there. He's been faithful even when we haven't been. Just listen for Him to say, I want you. And then hold on to Him. Hold on to Him with every fiber of your being. Faithfulness means never letting go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love and Your faithfulness to us. I don't know what each person is supposed to take from being here today, but You do, and I pray that our hearts are open to that. And I pray for those who are seeking You right now, Lord, and if they're ready, encourage them. Let them know that they can come forward today. Come forward during the next song, and we will take the next steps with them to begin a life of faithfulness for You. If there's someone struggling in our church family today, Lord, let them know that we're here together, that we all have times where we just barely hold on, but we will help them through. You are waiting patiently for all of us to come home. You are waiting patiently for all of us to be faithful. We know this, we believe this, and we are counting on this. I ask You to be with us as we go forward this week, Lord, and as we go forward with this day. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.